favorite scriptures today. And the scripture is, be still and know that I am God. And this is part of the scripture. But looked up the word still. And interestingly, this is an Old Testament scripture. It's in the book of Psalms. And this is the only time in this scripture that this particular Hebrew word is translated still. And the meaning of it is to slacken. And other ways to translate it is to abate, to leave something alone, to be feeble, to be weak, and which just kind of reinforces the line of thought there, which is mainly just sit down, shut up, give God some time. Give God some of your mind. Shut the rest of it out. Give him a chance to let you know that he's God. And that can really only happen, this appreciation really grows. When we give it some time, when we give somebody some time, including God, which always requires us ourselves, to sit down and shut up, and mentally at least, to give somebody or to give God that opportunity just to let us know who he is and how he is and just how important he is. Then at supper tonight, we're talking about some of the revisions that have been made to New Testament line upon line, and was talking about how we now have, as far as our color coding goes, you know, we have a color for God, and we have a color for Christ, and we have a color for resurrection, and this color for sin, and so forth, to kind of help us keep track, because sometimes it's not always clear who's who, right? Even in the idea of sin and so forth, it's not always clear just who's who. And so we have this color coding, which is really helpful. And one of the revisions is that we now have this gold color that helps us not only recognize, but to kind of make it stand out, the number of times in the New Testament where the word day does not refer to our 24-hour day. Sometimes it does. There's places like in Acts and things like that where a day means 24 hours and something happened the next day. But there's a lot of times in the scriptures where the word day is not referring to a 24-hour day. And it's oftentimes given to us in the context of something being able to happen at that day. We see that a lot in the Old Testament. You know, something's going to happen at that day or the day of the Lord or so forth. And in day one, when we're in day one and two depth of spirit, we look at that and our mind automatically goes to, well, that must be on a Wednesday. You know, we're thinking a day of the week when a particular event is going to happen. And God is so much bigger than us. His world is so much bigger than anything we could even begin to fathom, particularly as long as we're in this breath of life body, that we don't understand that when God is talking about a day or something happening in a day, it's not our 24-hour day. It doesn't mean on May 24th, 2010, that something is going to happen. Whatever it is that God says is going to happen is not only going to happen on a different literal day of the week for everybody, but most of what God says is going to happen is going to take 10,000 different days in our life for it to happen. It's a concept of growth, is what he's talking about. It's a concept of growth. And so we now have this color to indicate what God calls last days, which as far as his creative day process goes, which takes a week. For reference to a song earlier tonight, first thing he tells us is to crucify. Well, another thing that's mentioned is that song. It takes only a week of his time. Well, there's a week that God has, a spiritual week, when it says in Genesis that it took him 7 days to create the earth, and or 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. That's a symbolic message to us, that for creation to take place in our mind, it's going to be a process. It's not going to happen in a 24-hour day, and it's not going to happen in a 7-24 or 6-24-hour days either. It's going to be a process of time. And the last days is, in God's creative calendar, days 3 through 7. Those are the last days of the week. Now, the first day or two of the week, even today, we call Monday the first day of the week. Well, so too for God, that there's first days of the week, and then there's the last days of the week. And the last days in his process of creation are days 3 through 7, when he can start to get some real eternal life place in our head. So we now have this culture. God's talking about a creative day to know that there's not going to come a day on the calendar when this is going to happen in our lives, but these things will start to happen as our mind moves into a deeper, creative thing of the Spirit. And speaking of which, back here, must get listening to the music, and there's a scripture out of 2 Thessalonians that comes to mind. And the scripture is, it's in the second chapter where God's given us some just spectacular understanding about what's called the man of sin, or the old man. There's some real clear scriptures given to us there as to what the man of sin does in our head. And the scripture that came to mind is that now we know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. That's another one of those places where the he and the his. Thank God for color coding, because if you didn't have that, you'd get mixed up as to who is who. So now we know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. The word withholdeth means, the definition of it is to hold down. You know, like when somebody's holding you down, maybe your little brother used to do that to you when you were a kid. And it, you know, kind of get your head in a half mills, you know, and hold you down. I didn't have brothers, thank goodness, but you get the idea. There was always somebody that wanted to hold you down, whether it was physically speaking or mentally speaking. Somebody always wanted to hold you down to keep you from doing something that you wanted to do. Well, in the spirit realm, there's a somebody that wants to do that too. And not necessarily a somebody as in another entity, another being, but there's a something in our head that wants to hold us down too, to keep us from lifting our head up, to keep us from standing up, spiritually speaking. There's somebody, there's a something that's withholding, and it's going to keep on doing it. Now we know what withholdeth until he be revealed in his time. And it's already working, and the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And then again, it's a he that's in there too. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And for me, the interesting part was in some of the revisions that we had. It was finally made clear that the word withholdeth in the one verse is the same as letteth in that verse later on. And so we have them put together, you know, tied together with our emphasis color. Because whether we liken it to getting held down, withholding, or he who now letteth or holds us down, he's going to keep on doing it until he's taken out of the way. Mm-hmm. Well, the he that's holding us down is the man of sin. It's the mystery of iniquity. That's what holds us down, is the thoughts inside our very own head. God's not holding us down. God's not holding us back. It's the thoughts in our head that tell us we can't, we're too this, we're too that, we're too something else. That's what's holding us down. And it's going to keep on holding us down until he be taken out of the way, until it's cast out of our head. It's going to keep holding us in the old vice grips until he's taken out of the way by God's grace power. It's just a fact of life. That's how the mystery of iniquity works, is because it's a mystery to us. We don't know what's going on. We don't know why it's happening or how it's happening or when, necessarily even when it's happening. Sometimes later on afterwards we recognize the results of it because we didn't get to do, as Romans said, when I don't get to do the things that I want to do and when I end up doing things that I don't want to do, I've got to conclude that it's sin that dwelleth in me. It's not me, it's sin that's dwelling in me. And so things, what I'm not able to do, I'm being held down, then that's sin that's dwelling in me. And it's going to keep on doing it until it gets taken out of the way, meaning cast out of our mind. And one of the phrases that it uses to describe this man of sin, it says that he's sitting in the temple of God, so that he, as God, that's an important scripture, that's an important part of the phrase, so that he, as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. As God, of God, and is God. So that just as God wants to sit in our temple or in our mind, the man of sin sits in our temple or in our mind. There are, just as a side note, there are religions that have tried to, make this the Antichrist and a variety of other things, and try to point fingers at different religious leaders and so forth, and try to say that that's the man of sin that's sitting in the temple of God someplace. Well, this is Paul, the same writer that wrote 2 Thessalonians, it's Paul that wrote other scriptures like in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians that tell us that we are the temple of God. You put those two together And okay, the man of sin is sitting in our mind, since we are the temple of God. The man of sin is not over there someplace, he's in here someplace. So, as God, just as God wants to sit in the temple of our mind, there's a man of sin that's sitting in there. He's also called the son of perdition, meaning that he's an offspring of something else that's very destructive, which is Lucifer. The man of sin didn't originate in our head. It didn't start in our head. It's the offspring of somebody else. It's the offspring of something else. The one that's the originator of the lie. The one that was a murderer from the beginning. The one that's always been a liar. Not always as in forever, but from the first start of the lie, he was the liar. The son of perdition. What's he in our head is an offspring of Lucifer. So there's this guy, ask God, he's sitting in the temple of God. He wants to be exalted above all that is called God or that is worshipped. That's another part of it. What's in our head wants to be exalted, as in have the preeminence. To have the loudest line of thought in our mind, to have the most forceful line of thought in our mind, and when we say forceful, lots of times our evil spirits can be very sneaky and quiet, but they want to get their way, is the point. And so it wants to be exalted above everything that God might possibly want to encourage us to do or be trying to lead us or guide us to do. There's always this guy that wants to argue against what, you know, whatever God would say, he's there, but. And he's always against what God wants to say. And so he's trying to exalt himself above God, above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he has God. And he shows himself that he is God. He, meaning these lines of thought in our head, will work very hard to try to convince us that this is what they're telling us to do. This is the right thing to do. This is how to do it. This is what to say or how to feel or what to think. This is what God would have you think. God would be angry or God would do this or God would do something else. And therefore to justify this feeling inside our head, which is not God. It just is not God, but that's just how tricky the medicine is, which is one of the reasons that he's called the mystery of iniquity, because it is a mystery. This is not easy to figure out. It can be figured out, but it's not easy. It takes some time. It takes some work. And so, again, what's withholding or what's holding us down is going to continue to hold us down, keep us contained, keep us under his thumb, however it is that's most effective for us to label this or look at it. That's the line of thought that God says, go ahead and use it. Whatever's the most effective weapon in our head, look at it that way. And keep in mind that it's going to keep on holding you down. It's going to keep on letting. It's going to keep on holding us down until he's gone. Mm-hmm. That's just reality. That's how the scriptures describe it, and it's just a reality. So God wants to give us the hope, as he does there in 2 Thessalonians, that this man of sin can be gone. Yeah. It can go out. One of the his there is a... He's Christ, and talks about this presence of Christ and this appearing of Christ and the time of Christ and the coming of Christ. And one of the things he's going to do is he's going to destroy this man of sin with the brightness of his coming and with the spirit of his mouth and the brightness of his coming. So that's what's going to destroy the man of sin, is this Christ coming into our head with the spirit of his mouth, meaning this grace gift of the spirit, these words that God can give to us. And the brightness of his coming, the more of this Christ that we get in our mind, the more the deeper creative days of this Christ that we get in our mind, the more the man of sin is destroyed. Thank God.